So for the next talk, we have Tim Stoddard from Litchfield presenting on developing games for the gaming and casino industry. So please all give him a very warm mid-afternoon welcome. Please. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, thank you very much. Glad to see a nice sizable crowd. A little bit more info about who I am. Let's get back to this. There we go. So, a little bit more specific about myself. So, my official job title is as a C++ games programmer. I've been loving to make computer games and a whole lot of games and writing code for games. Since I was around 16 or so, I even went to university to study it and ended up getting like a first class degree in it. And then I joined the company which I currently work for, Cyclone Games, back in 2015. And started off as a junior, and as of late 2016, I moved up to a general C++ games programmer. So the kind of games that I work on, two games on the left and the right, White King, Fortune 5, are games that I specifically worked on. In the middle is a game that not I worked on specifically. It was one of my colleagues, but it's the kind of game that Cyclone game works on. Five real video slot games on massive machines at either betting shops or casinos. So apologies for the crude video recording. This wasn't mine. I happened to find this on YouTube, some recording from within a Ladbrokes. But as you've seen, this is an example of what's called a B2 category game. I'll do a basic rundown of the legal regulation, regulatory size. But essentially, B2 games are the big paying games, which are like £20 to £50 per game. You get a longer game with more chance of rewards, and you can find these in the UK. Although if you follow the recent news, there's probably going to be moving out soon. But that's politics for you. So I'm gonna have to say for you soon that a lot of you do work in software industries. But even if you're not, just see an interesting rundown, a basic rundown of how these games work. So. It's essentially an individual game is like accounted for like four different people. So you have people like me, the programmer, who writes all the codes for the games and such. You have the artist who would provide you all the graphics and the animations. You have the mathematician, which that's the person who provides all the logics, the chances is of what symbols get appeared, what features get appeared, and they work it out. Then finally you get the tester, who is the one who looks through the kind of game builds and finds bugs and distributes them out to the correct people to fix. Usually it is the programmer who gets most of the bugs, which is not surprising. But then once all the bugs get sorted out, that game gets sent over to the distributor, who then finds more bugs for us to fix. And then once we fix that, we get a finished game. Simple enough. So the kind of unique thing about the gambling games that I work on is that you get different areas. You get different areas of the industry. You get different sub areas of the gambling industry. The parent company Playtech work on. That I get involved in is online, mobile, and retail. Retail being the primary one that Cyclone Games does. So retail specifically means working on big machines like these. So these are specifically video bet ones, which you'll find in like betting shops and casinos, either in the UK or around most of the markets we work on in Europe. They have at least two screens, but they can go up to four. You have two different kinds. You have the standard definition, which is like 1024 by 768, and then you have the high definition, which is 1920 by 1080. And built basically like Windows like machines with their own GDKs inside. And we've generally built games to be like this, where you have where you had to account for multiple different screen sizes. So for example, on the very left, you'll see what a standard definition game would look like. But and then on the right, you could have on the right, it's a high definition game, but it's because there are different kinds of machines, means the very bottom and the very top screens are vastly different resolutions, and we have to account for that. For UK specifically, the very bottom screens mainly for input, but if it's dual screen, that gets relegated to the main screen where you see the reels are. The other system that we work on is called TrueServe. TrueServe is almost entirely exclusive towards Italy and Norway. And the main difference between VideoBet and TrueServe is that VideoBet is mostly client-based. There's a platform that handles like multiple machines at once, but with TrueServe, you have every game has an underlying server program that it communicates with the client. Right? And they are almost primarily dual screen, and with the same different kind of resolutions. But Norway has is kind of interesting in which it has a resolution of like 1680 by 1050, which isn't standard, but it's a fairly easy one to handle with. So what's the difference between like working on a VideoBet and a TrueServe system? One is with packaging. So with a TrueServe game, you have to provide a separate program for the client and a separate program for the server, which can get pretty awkward when you're trying to create new builds. It's also particularly awkward if you want to. With TrueServe games, they had to be uploaded to a server, which is often in a completely different country, which means that you tend to have the fun experience of building a game, then having it uploaded, waiting an hour for it to go live, and then realize you have another minor build which require another additional fix. Not fun. Compare that to say VideoBet, because you only need to build specifically for the client, you only have to really build one package, and that package is also simple enough that you can just that the QA team can just upload it directly to the cab without having to deal with servers. But however, server client does have its advantages. One specifically is that. Because the server and client are separate, that also means that your game logic, which would be on the server, has to be separate from what would typically be on the client, which is your visual presentation. On the client side, this can be mixed unless you build your architecture correctly. But if you don't, that could lead to risks such as if a certain part of your logic has to be delayed because your presentation takes a while to complete. That could lead to some potential risks that having a server can avoid because the logic is meant because then the logic would happen instantly. The presentation can happen as long as it wants. Another one is if in the event that that you have a player who's playing a game, they're doing a really good run, they're going to look like going to get high pay, and then suddenly there's a power failure or a network failure and the game shuts off. Understandably, that player would be very, very angry if he goes to the staff who tell them, sorry, there's nothing we can do. We can't replay the game. Both systems have a way of handling this, fortunately. But for VideoBet, there's a flag that gets raised if their system goes down unexpectedly, so that when the system restarts, that flag will basically say, "Hey, this game failed unexpectedly. Restart exactly on this game." However, the developer is responsible for replaying basically the game up to that point. Right. There's also the disadvantage in which for the client it's only specific to one machine. Alternatively, when it goes to TrueServe, the replay system is handled through the server. Basically, all the developer needs to do is just to tell the server, "Hey, I'm pressing this button. I'm sending this message at this point." To which the server will collect those, and then in the event of a failure, when it gets to replaying, the server will basically send those messages back to the client, and then the client will handle it accordingly. Also because it's being handled on a central server. If one machine fails, you can just basically go take your card and replay the game on a separate machine, and it will work just as you expect. So, what do developers need to know? And I tend to find this whenever I talk to people who aren't part of the industry, they always seem to ask "And how do you make the game? How do you make the game fair? How do you make the game fair? Are they completely random? How do you make sure that people aren't just going to be losing all their money?" Simple answer is we have to. Because all the countries we work on have quite strict regulations, and thanks to our QA team, both the QA team and also the testing processes through our distributors, we have to abide by those rules. This can be stuff from like how long a game has to play a minimum time, which for the UK, I think it's 3 seconds for a single spin game, and then for the higher stakes B2 games, it's like 20 seconds. But the most important one is called the RTP, or return to player. Essentially, the most basic way to put this is that it's the ratio between how much gets paid in and how much gets paid out. Now, if you pay in, if someone pays in over the lifetime of a game, like £100, it's expected on average that the RTP is set to 90%, and then it's expected to return. You're expected to pay back at least £90. Although with the regulations, this value is expected over much, much longer periods of time. It's usually up to like a million or a billion games. It's pretty important that we actually meet exactly as close to the RTP as possible. Usually to like a hundredth of a percentage, because if you go too high, the betting shops and casinos aren't going to be too happy with you overpaying games. But if you go too low, it's potentially breaking the law, and you'll get the gambling commission coming after you. But also as a developer, when you're dealing with multiple regions, you have to deal with multiple different regions, because unlike the online and web gaming market, retail market has pretty strict rules when it comes to those which differ between country to country. Along with it's not as simple as just changing the text to a different language. Some games will have completely different user interfaces. So as you can see in this example, the top one is Fortune 5 for the UK game market, but below it is what the same game would look like for the Denmark, and as you can also notice with Denmark is that there's also additional features which aren't specifically regu- uh, is specific to regulation, required for regulations, but it's usually preferred for the market. You also have regulations specifically with what I said before, like minimum game time, how much gets paid out, how much you get to pay it out over a certain period of time, what the RTPs are, and sometimes even completely different into betting amounts, which will also require like completely different maths as well. So this is what it's like now for the retail market, but there's also kind of a question of what's happening in for the future. And a lot of this, and for Playtech, this is specifically what's called GPaaS, or Gameplay as a Service. So essentially the idea of GPaaS is to basically take a game from one system and have it be played almost entirely the same on another system. So you can play your game on a retail machine, and then you can continue playing on your exact same account on a website or on a mobile device. This is usually done through HTML5, which being a C++ developer gets fun at sometimes, just trying to deal with completely different compilers and different errors and how things work. Although it does have an additional benefit, in which developers who mostly work on online and mobile games had to understand how the retail market works and seeing how completely different it is, and vice versa. It's particularly fun seeing an online developer working on a retail game for a market that's non-UK, and then getting a whole load of bugs back saying, "Wait, we need to do all this. What do you do as a retail developer when you have to deal with these many regulations?" And the honest answer is, most of the time, we usually have to build a completely separate build because there's too many changes to handle in just one specific build. That's kind of mostly what I've had to speak about. So thank you for listening. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to. I don't think I would be allowed to say that on camera. although I kind of will say is that a lot of the random inputs is kind of out of my control. For both VideoBet and TrueServe, it's mostly handled by the internal machine's API, in which we just get given the numbers. All we had to focus on is how we actually process those random numbers.
I think it comes primarily from audience questions. That's where it comes from, the random numbers. All right, I think that's all the time we have. If you have any questions for Tim, please, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them outside. So we have a pretty tight time frame for our next talk, so we'll get started on that one. Thank you very much for your attention. Let's give him another round of applause.